good life. Good life, good life, good life.
This is KAYT-FM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJO-FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
I'm Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're now listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is an independent outreach ministry of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church located at 2308 Houston Street, Alexandria, Louisiana. We're preaching and teaching the Word of God on a regular basis. Join us now as we enter into our service already in progress.
And His all-inclusive love for man is eternal. To those that love Him. Secondly, a Christ-like behavior involves humility and servanthood. Where are the workers? I ain't got time. Where are those that want to serve the Lord? I want to be in the choir, but I really don't want to sing. Humility and servanthood. When someone is in need, are we really trying to bring them in or push them out? When's the last time you smiled when somebody walked through the door? When was the last time you embraced someone that was a new person who come in looking for a home? Did you go and say, thank you, we like to welcome you to the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church? To have the pastor up there jumping and turning around and spinning. When is the last time we embraced or even said hello? Can I get personal? When is the last time we spoke to one another? When is the last time we really acted like Christians and showed that we are demonstrating the Christ-like attitude that Christ demonstrated by embracing one another in love? Are we so high and mighty that we can't say hello? Where is the love? For God is love. We have a Christ-like demeanor when we are emulating what Christ did. Humility was evident when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And this was a gesture that symbolized his service leadership. Several years ago, I got all of my youth. Ashton, I think you were part of that group. And I had all of my YOA kids to take the shoes off. I baffled them. And I had them to wash each other's feet. It messed them up. Have you ever had your feet washed? Oh, it's okay for you to wash somebody else's feet, but have you ever had somebody wash your feet? You will never be the same again. It is something about somebody getting on their knees, washing your feet, that does something on the inside of you. Our children said this was something they had never experienced before, and our pastor experienced it. And when my pastor washed my feet, I was trying, don't do it. He said, oh, yeah, because you have to learn this. You have to learn humility. We have lost the humility as a nation. We have lost the humility as a country because we no longer want to wash anyone's feet. We've been so blessed as a nation so long that we've forgotten that God has blessed America. And God is simply saying, I know how to get humility back into a people who said they love me, and yet now they turn their back against me. So God is simply saying, I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to bring you back. If God could bring a nation of Israel down and hold them in a captivity, He can bring a nation that say we are a great and powerful nation back to him. Jesus, rather than seeking worldly powers and riches, he embraced simplicity and lived among ordinary people, teaching them the truth of God's kingdom. And the scripture tells us, because we see here, today men are seeking money and power. How many millions did you make? How much did the stock market put in your 401? I'm going to tell the truth. Because I heard a man say, we finna all make some money out of this. And now look what we got. Men are seeking money and power. And when you got so much money, now what do you want? You want the power. Scripture tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when we think about that statement, roots grows deep. So they cannot be easily uprooted. And so when the love of money, not money, because we all need money to operate, but the love of money, which means, oh, let's go back. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the Lord. Said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And the second commandment is like unto, love your neighbor as thyself. When we put anything else in there, that's putting God secondary, because now love has become an evil, because the love of money is the root of all evil. And the more we gravitate towards it, the more we fall away from the source of our resources. In other words, we fall away from the one who is love. For God is love. Money was not the problem. It was the love of money. Thirdly, in developing a Christ-like behavior, we have forgiveness and grace. Christ's forgiving nature was evident throughout his ministry. He offered redemption to those who turn to him regardless of their past transgression. The woman caught in adultery, he offered compassion and forgiveness. The one who had the power to forgive, forgave me. Oh, and he forgave you. Because all of us are guilty of something at some point in our life. But he forgave us because of grace and mercy. My brothers and sisters, his grace is captured in the words spoken from the cross when he said, Father, Abba, forgive them. Put your name there. For they do not know what they are doing. This showcases his willingness to forgive even in the face of suffering. I should have been there. We should have been there. He who knew no sin became our sin and suffered the wrath of a sin-hating God. He who came in the fullness of time demonstrated the eternal love of God so that we could have a right to the tree of life. He who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He who is the beginning and the end. He who is the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, and the beginning and the end. He is our water when we are thirsty, our food when we are hungry. He is our shelter in a time of storm. He is our doctor when we need one. He is our money when we are short. He is the one that woke us up this morning. Can I get parenthetically with it? He is the one, Dwayne, that put the sun in the sky. We look up and there's a brightness of the sun. Can we get deeper into this? If the sky is lit up, why is it when we leave the atmosphere, we see nothing but darkness? That should have baffled you, because the sun don't ever get dark. But when men go out of to the outer space, it is dark out there. So is the sun shining on all, or is the sun shining on just what God wanted to shine on? Because Mercury, Mars, Venus, Neptune, and all of those are in darkness. But God took a planet called the Earth, and he created it for man to live upon. Not Venus, not Mars, not Jupiter. He created the Earth. The sun shined, but there's still darkness out there. But watch what God can do. God put some stars in the sky that symbolize that he is the one who made it. He put a star that shined in the east to let us know that his son would be birthed. He put stars in the sky to show that he is still able to have lesser things showing. He even got the moon to lesser shine so that we will know the day from the night. I'm talking about a God who is a creating God. The same God who made the heavens and the earth is the God who made us who we are. He is a God who caused clouds in the sky so that the sun won't burn up the grass. He is a God who let the clouds cover us and get heavy enough to drop the rain so that the rain won't, so that the grass won't burn up. He is a God who created it all, and we can't say thank you. I told the Lord I was going to preach until I die. He said, because you will one day. But he said, I've already shown to you your destiny. And he said, go ahead and continue to preach so that they won't have an excuse to say, I did not know. Yes, you do, because I'm telling you. God is simply saying, I'm waking you up. I'm empowering you to be better. I want you to be like Christ and not like the world, because there's some stuff about to happen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's the problem. We don't want to be humble. And pray. How many people been praying? And seek my faith. How many of us turn to the Lord instead of that hoodoo stuff that we all know about in Louisiana? And turn from their wicked ways. Then will they hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The Lord is simply saying, I've got something greater, because all men have is temporary. I've got something greater, because all man can do is what I allow him to do. And whenever man is messing up, I can even turn a mess up and make it good. I can use it for my praise, my honor, and my glory. How do I know that? Because I was once lost. I was once blind. I was once wayward out there, didn't know my left from my right. But God, that's that conjunction, which means something important is about to be said. But God took me, shaped me, molded me, and used me. Send me in all kinds of denomination. That's why I know denomination ain't getting nobody into heaven. Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, I've been in all of them. Seventh-day Adventist, I've been in all of them. Pentecostal, I've been there. And every once in a while, a little Pentecostal may come out of me. Because God is a God who loves us, and denomination ain't important to him. Religion, Christianity, the Lord is speaking to a people who will hear. There are things that the world will experience. The question is, will you hear what God is saying? Christ's life was a testament to absolute obedience to God the Father.